Journey of a believer. A believer's road is narrow, yet filled with sacred grace. Each trial becomes a lantern. Journey of a believer.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another fantastic episode of the silsila Journey of a Believer. Wherever you may be in the world, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. A reminder for you and I that when we are making dua, also include the ummah. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he azza wa jal grants relief to the ummah, shifa to those who are sick and suffering from whatever type of ailment, maghfirah to those who have passed on, and protection against the oppressors. This world, our very lives, are not stable in the sense that as the seasons keep changing, summer, autumn, winter, spring, throughout the year, as some days are sunny, some there's rain, wind, storms, cloudy or overcast. Similarly, our lives as well. Today, a person can be wealthy and tomorrow they can be poor. Today, they are healthy and tomorrow they are sick. Today, I'm happy, but tomorrow I'm sad. So change is inevitable. I could be going through great challenges in my life at this moment in time. Calamities upon calamities, as far as I can see. I'm surrounded by calamities and problems, distress, stress, hardships, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. So this is what we are going to be talking about today, inshallah. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So how about we make some good intentions and, oh Allah azza wa jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, inshallah al-kareem. We should do ourselves a favor and every day dedicate some time to recite the glorious Quran, dedicate some time to recite salawat, durud-e-paak, istighfar, make sincere repentance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis. Abstain from sins. Be punctual with the 5 daily salahs and perform them properly. Learn and practice the sunnah, fulfill rights of others. Learn a dua or something of deen for the day and obey Allah Azza wa Jal and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do this no matter what your condition is. Even if the whole world has turned against you, even if absolutely nothing is working out for you, maintain your salas. Continue with du'as. Keep turning to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because at the end of the day, every single thing is in His control, His power. If He so wills to change your condition in a moment, who can stop Him? But be careful. Shaitan won't be far behind, especially when you're absolutely down and out and you feel like there's no hope. It's the devil, Shaitan. It's the nafs, the desires, the ego, who's making you feel hopeless, helpless, to the point where some unfortunate people end up losing their iman because of the things they say and the things that they do. Little do they realize, they have traded the pathway to paradise for the pathway towards the hellfire. This they will realize. Sooner or later, they will realize it. When the angel of death appears, that is when, but it's too late. The beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, the one who recites Salat ala Nabi Durood Sharif 1,000 times every day will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's true what they say. Ad-dunya sijnu lil-mu'min wa jannatu lil-kafir. That the world is a prison for the believer and a paradise for the disbeliever. Scholars have elaborated on this, that in prison, you are restricted. There's many things you can do and most things you can't do. You are not independent. You're a prisoner. And so the believer has his or her restrictions, your do's, your don'ts, your halal, your haram. While certain things are forbidden, are prohibited according to the order of our Creator Azza wa Jal, our Sustainer and Nourisher, Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, the one to whom we are going to return to sooner than we realize. So some things are prohibited, but most things are not. But the restrictions are there. And that is our global constitution, our global guidelines, the Sharia. And for the disbeliever, he can eat anything, can drink anything, can do anything, can say anything, no issue. Live his life, her life, however they wish. We can't do that. And those who do, they end up with major issues in their life. Patience is a great tool that if we learn to observe patience, tolerance, forbearance, and looking at things in their proper perspective, the reality behind this world, that these struggles I'm going through, these problems I'm facing, these difficulties that are pulling me down, job after job, interview after interview, I've gone to so many interviews, I've given my CV, my resume to so many places, I've lost count, nothing is working out, I'm just falling sick all the time. Difficulties, calamities, pain, physical, emotional, for a true believer is expiation of sins, is removal of sins. The beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said in his hadith a narration that even the thorn that pokes a believer, the pain that you feel, because of that pain, sins are removed. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So apparently, it seems like that believer is going through so many problems and difficulties. Some will even say, hey, you're unlucky, man. You are unlucky. You don't have no money. You don't have no job. You like this, you're always getting sick. But if the person is a true believer and is establishing their salahs and fulfilling rights and fulfilling what's obligatory upon them and observing patience and being tolerant and continues turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then on the day of judgment, they will see who has the higher status and who doesn't. Who has more closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who doesn't. I'm sure you've heard of the great prophet, Nabi Ayyub ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. It's something to motivate us. Because most people are going through difficulties, different types of difficulties, stress, worry, anxiety, pressure, depression. If only we condition our minds to realize, I need to put in the effort and leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will look after me. But I need to put the effort in. Do your best with good intentions. Fulfill your obligatory duties. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And believe me, He'll open those doors. He'll send you those resources from the places you could never imagine. Never imagine. That's a guarantee. Because with difficulty comes ease. Certainly with difficulty comes ease. This is the message of the glorious Quran. The great Prophet Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam It's mentioned in the glorious Quran, Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 17, verse 83. And remember Ayyub, when he called out to his Lord, indeed, affliction has befallen me, and you are the most merciful of the merciful. So we accepted his supplication. Then we removed that which he was afflicted with, and we granted him his family and their equivalent with them as mercy from us and advice for the worshippers. It's mentioned in a beautiful book, an authentic book called Ajaibul Quran Ma'a Ghara'ibul Quran. And believe me, I'll tell you something. The stories in this book, the Quranic stories that are there, I personally use as in different places, but one place I most certainly use it is as bedtime stories for my kids. And believe me, they get amazed when they hear these stories. And it's full of Islamic religious practical lessons. So they're learning the lessons and they're learning something of the glorious Quran. When I'm there, then they'll say, please tell us a prophet story, a story from the Quran. Obtain your copy. Go to dawatislami.net. You can download for free. This, it's called Quranic Wonders. If you want the hard copy, then get in touch with our department called Maktabatul Madina, the publications department and bookshop of Dawud Islami. Start reading it. You may want to just simplify a little bit the words, the hard words for little children, but read for yourself and you'll be amazed. Every Muslim home must also have a copy of this. Of course, a glorious Quran as well. But a copy of this as well, inshallah al-kareem. So in that book it's mentioned, it's commonly believed amongst some people that Allah forbid Ayyub alayhi salam suffered from leprosy. Many unreliable narratives regarding Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam's leprosy are written in untrustworthy books, not authentic. However, remember that these accounts that he had leprosy are fabricated, are false. Ayyub alayhi salam, nor any other prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ever had leprosy. Because it is essential for all the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam to be free from those diseases which cause aversion amongst the common people, that the person will run away because of that kind of sickness. So no prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had such sicknesses. Because it's the prophet's duty to continue conveying the message to the people, to continuously guide the people. And so if the common people are repulsed by such an illness and they run away, how can that duty then be fulfilled? So Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam never ever suffered from leprosy. Rather, his body developed some blisters, some sores, some boils. And because of this, Ayyub alayhi salam, he endured great pains and sufferings for years, and he remained consistently patient and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the incident written in some of the books that during his illness, worms would appear in the body of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam and consume his noble flesh. This is also fabricated and absolutely false, because the appearance of worms in the body is a cause of aversion, disdain for the common people. People are repulsed by such things. So those who mention the story of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, be very careful that we do not introduce lies, fabrications, and false stories. Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, he went through great difficulties. He lost all of his children. He lost all of his wealth. And did he lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy? He continued to thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And eventually, he was cured. Almighty Allah Azawajal had mercy upon him, removed his afflictions, brought his children back to life, brought back the wealth of his livestock, of which he had plenty, and made him young again. Dear viewers and listeners, we need to understand this. And you know, some have said, and I want you to also think about this right now. Think about the greatest worry that you have in your life at this point in time. The greatest pressure and stress that you have. Think about it now for a minute or two. And whilst thinking about it, now think about great calamities that you had in the past, which were like this one or even worse, but are no more there. They're gone. You have been victorious. You have surpassed that. And now think that if I'm stressing so much about these calamities and problems, and I'm, because of it, I'm neglecting my salahs, because of it, I'm not doing good deeds, I'm perhaps engaging in evil deeds, I'm not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm obeying my desires, and I'm following in the footsteps of shaitan. How am I going to solve this problem then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only change the condition of an individual if they first initiate the change. Now imagine those greatest of calamities and problems that you have that are sitting on your head, on your chest, and you feel like you're suffocating. There must be multiple problems, worries, anxiety. What if the angel of death appeared right now, all of a sudden, to seize your soul? Now I ask you, what happens to those mountains of calamities, those plentiful of problems? What happens to them? They remain in the world. They disappear. So those problems in reality are temporary like our lives. But the real problems will begin in the grave. If we did not prepare adequately by doing good deeds, by obeying Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by obeying the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the real problems will be there. Here we can talk to people, we can talk to our spouse, we can talk to our parents, our siblings, our friends. They can give us some kind of comfort. Don't worry, everything will be okay. Or somebody may even help us out. But in the grave, loneliness, darkness, narrowness. Even we scream and shout, nobody's going to come running to help us. So it is better for you and I to observe patience, because the difficulty is temporary. A person may feel like, I'm making dua and there's nothing is working out. No job opportunity is there. I'm always stressed out. I don't have peace in my life. You know, shaitan is going to take you down which road? He started whispering. His evil whisperings, using your own sound, your own voice. You know, there's one way out. End it. You end your life and you end all these problems. Suicide. If you think that's the answer, please read over a booklet which you can obtain from Maktabatul Madina or download the free copy from dawatislami.net, and you will see for yourself, out of the pan into the fire, that the manner in which the person took their life, they will continue inflicting that pain on themselves in the grave till the day of judgment. There's one beautiful way to help us develop this patience, this tolerance, to be able to tolerate whatever life throws at us, whatever difficulty or calamity is there. Number one, to put into perspective that this is temporary and I must continue fulfilling what is obligatory upon me. I must continue turning to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Him. Make dua also for other Muslims. If you come to know, listen to this. If you come to know that another Muslim, whether you know them or not, is going through a great difficulty, make dua for them in their absence, even without them knowing about it, secretly, quietly. Ya Allah, subhanahu, that Muslim I came to know, he's going through lots of financial distress. Ya Allah, grant him halal and beneficial wealth, and so forth. Duas like this. Duas of khair and goodness. Guess what happens? An angel is appointed to sit by you and say Ameen to the dua, and to make the same dua for you. So you are saying, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Muslim, please remove his loans and his debts. Grant him blessings in his income. The angel would say, Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the same. Remove your debts and loans and grant you blessings in your income. You have an angel making dua for you. So put things into perspective. Continue with your salahs, continue with your du'as, and do your best to resolve the matter. Leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we need to also develop that aspect. Tawakkul, our trust, our yaqeen and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read over the seer, the biographies of the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, especially the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read over the biographies of Sahaba alayhim ridwan, Ahlul Bayt Athar, Awliya Allah, the pious predecessors. You'll come to realize something, that many of them went through great trials and tribulations, but they were patient, they were tolerant, they never gave up hope, and they were victorious. They were successful. If you're going back in time, Karbala, who doesn't know what transpired there? Sayyidu Shuhada, our master, Sayyidina Imam Al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and the fragrant flowers of the garden of Lady Fatimatu Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the queen of Jannah, the leader of the ladies of paradise. What happened to them? What happened to baby Ali Asghar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu? What happened to Ali Akbar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu? And the others. But today, subhanallah azza wa jal, what do we remember? We remember that the victor was Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, and his offspring are everywhere. Yazid the filth, the unfortunate, where is his offspring? One day the honorable wife of Sayyidina Fath Mausili rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, she fell down and she got hurt so badly that one of her nails broke off. Instead of crying in pain, it must be painful, she said, oh dear, alas. And she started laughing. She started smiling. Somebody asked her, is it not paining? She replied, I am looking towards the reward, the thawab, to be gained from observing patience upon this pain, and I find great joy in that. So I can't even think about the pain of the injury. I'm just focusing on my Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with me, and there's enormous reward for this pain, and there's a removal of sins. Think about that. We believe in an afterlife, a hereafter. We believe in resurrection, that we will be finished off. This earth, the sun, moon, planets, universes and galaxies, creation will cease to exist. And then at a certain time, an appointed time, we'll be brought back to life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher, will bring us back to life. And then there'll be accountability. Those who strove in his path will receive their rewards. And those who didn't, those who disobeyed, those who denied those who rejected will be given their reward as well. One reward is paradise. One reward is the blazing fire. Which one do we choose? Everybody is going to say no, paradise. But our actions, our deeds and what we say, especially when calamity is befall us, rather be silent. Rather focus as that honorable wife of Sayyidina Fath Musibi rahmatullah alayhi, how she conditioned her mind. The mind is a very powerful thing. How she conditioned her mind that my focus was on the rewards. So I couldn't think about the pain. This doesn't just happen. You have to train the brain. Subhanallah azza wa jal. Likewise, if we go into the lives of the pious, other pious people, look at the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who could have had more difficulties placed in front of him. Who could have had more difficulties than him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He never gave up. With patience, with perseverance, subhanallah azza wa jal, he is the light of our eyes and the crown of our heads. Until the day of judgment and beyond, his remembrance will continue as well. So be strong. Observe patience. Develop your patience and tolerance in the face of calamities. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Journey of a believer. A believer's road is narrow, yet filled with sacred grace. Each trial becomes a lantern.